Reason I waited so long down here is because the Antique Auto Club is here today, and that I knew that when they arrived, Merle would have them all fill the plates full, and they would be a little heavier, and it would take just a little longer to get the money to the back. So that's the reason I held up, Merle. I have a long relationship with the Antique Auto Club here in Norfolk. I was their pastor for, I think, about 30 years, right? Seems like 30 years. And we'd meet somewhere, and the first time we ever met, we met out in a field out here, south of town. And Merle says, it might be a little chilly out there. He says, I don't know for sure, but he said, I want to wear a coat. And I said, okay. And of course, when I got up that Sunday morning to go out there, because they always had started their week off with a morning service on Sunday, which is a real pat on the back for them. And we've lost a lot of members. I can see that. And we're out at Bob's Watermelon Patch out there, Bob Hoover's Watermelon Patch. And it's blowing and it's cold. And Merle says, don't go much more over 15 minutes. I got up there, and there's this little girl sitting right down here, and she's like shaking so cold. I spoke for about 3 minutes, and I said, we're done. That's enough. But we had many years together at different places, and they were always really, really good to me, and I can't say enough about them. And so I want to thank them for being here today and listening to me one more time, huh? How's that? All right. My family's here today. I have to take 1 minute to introduce my family to all of you because I don't think you know all my family. My son Brock on the end over here, raise your hand so they know who I'm talking about. My grandson Roman, who just left the room, I'm sure to conduct some meeting in another room. He's 5 or 6, right? 4 or 5, I don't know. Time has lost me in age. Go ahead. 7. Shows you how far behind I am. I want to thank Andrea and Linda for the music and Jonathan this morning. Wonderful music. Both of you do a great job. My wife, Sharon. And then my only granddaughter, Evan. She's the only one I got. The only girl I've ever had in my life that's from family. I have daughter-in-laws, but I don't have the bloodline, but she is my bloodline. So very proud of her. She's had a very successful high school career. She's headed to Oklahoma State. Boo. I want her to be a Husker, but apparently that's not working out. So she's going to be a cowgirl now. My grandson Thatcher, how old are you, Thatcher? 15. The guy can do it all. The guy can play all the sports. His team won the basketball championship, the football championship, track championship in Lincoln. So he's an outstanding athlete like his dad was and not like his grandpa. Roman, raise your hand. Tell him you're here. And my daughter-in-law, former Mrs. Nebraska. What year was that? 2015. I'm very proud of her, and she went to Las Vegas, I think it was, for the United States Mrs. Nebraska contest. She finished high up in that, so we're very proud of her. And then my son, Jay, my middle son, and he's a realtor in Lincoln, and very proud of them. So you've met my family. Please introduce yourselves to them, if you would, before you leave. Don't be shy, because they love shaking hands. Okay. I'm going over to Kenny Chapman's house tomorrow morning at 10:30, and he has a request. I don't know what that is, but I will be talking to him in regards to his illness, and he has pancreatic cancer, and I want to make sure that him and the Lord are on the same page. So I want all of you to pray for that. Tomorrow morning at 10:15, I want you to take a minute, drop your head, and just say, Lord, be with Doug. Lord Jesus, go with Doug and be with him and Kenny and Donna tomorrow morning. Please do that for me. I'd really appreciate that. Anything else? Anybody got to say anything or anywhere? They're excited. The new pastor is going to be here the 11th and preach. So excited about that. I'll be here one more week, and then a lot of you will be able to tell your friends they can come back to church. That guy's finally gone, and it's kind of like, I don't know how many of you remember the Old Testament story about Elisha and his sons. And they said, the old man is just too hard. He's just too hard. And so it is, the old man, these boys will tell you, the old man's just too hard. Right, guys? Yeah, I thought you'd say that. John 3, 1 through 22. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the reading of your word. We ask now that you bless the sick and the ill in our church. We think of Bob Shedda, Lord, and we pray for his health. Pray for Kenny and Donna Chapman this morning, Lord, that you would be with Kenny and Donna as they prepare for some things this week. We pray, Lord, for all the sick and ill that might be in this church this morning that I'm not aware of. As John said, there are people, six people came up to him and said, would you pray for this or that illness or that person? Father, we need to pray continuously for our sick and ill friends, not only for their illness or their sickness, but their salvation. Even if they were healed again, they still have to contend with eternal life. And Lord, we ask you this morning to open the hearts and minds of those people that they might come to you. There's no need to be ill or sick in this life. We're not going to make it through anyway. The whole idea is that we need to come to the only one that can save our souls. And we ask this morning, Lord, that you touch the hearts of those that are here this morning, that your Holy Spirit dwell in us, not outside of us, that we may do the work that you have called us to do. Father, we thank you for the group that's here this morning. We pray you bless each and every one as they go their way today, that they might be Jesus Christ in the earth as they walk their day-to-day lives, that others may see the light in them that you have given to them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You must be born again. Wow. Or you cannot see the kingdom of God. There's all kinds of people running around today telling me that, oh, you know, I'm going to heaven. Oh, I love Jesus, baby. I love Jesus, but I don't love my neighbor. I love Jesus, but I don't love my dad and my mom. I love Jesus, but I don't love my son or my daughter. Lady said to me this week, she said, I'm not coming back to First Baptist. I said, why not? Because my feelings are hurt. It's going to be an amazing statement at the gates of glory, isn't it? What did you do? Jesus is going to say to you, what did you do for me while you were down on the earth? And you're going to say, I didn't go to church because I didn't like the way things were handled. Well, I'm sure he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, come on in. It's not the way it's going to be. Your only job as a Christian is to serve Jesus Christ. Nicodemus comes to him by night. He's a high-ranking Pharisee. He's a rich man. And he comes to Jesus by night to talk to Jesus about his eternal soul. Each one of you has a soul. Each one of your souls will be required at the throne of God upon your death. Oh, no, we're going to the fifth heaven. No, we're going to the third. They're going to pray me in. They're going to pray me out. I've gone through that before. The Bible distinctly says your soul will be required at the throne of God upon your immediate death. I'm going to be over here in the back room. I'm going to be out there in the basketball area shooting hoops. It's going to be required. And so Nicodemus, he wants to know that. He says, what do I have to do to have eternal life? He says, you're a teacher. Haven't you read the Old Testament? 318 prophecies in the Old Testament, and you haven't read those? About me? That's what he says. You haven't read those. He said, well, I thought just being a, you know, joining the old First Baptist church or the church down the street, that's going to get me in. And a lady in Wayne said to me one time, she said, is my name written in the book in the church in the back in the library there? I said, I don't know if it is, but that's not how you're getting into heaven. You must be born again. Some of you are sitting here this morning and you're just dead sure you're going to heaven because you did some work here at this church, you did some work at that other church, or heavens, you even belong to the Antique Auto Club, or you belong to the Boy Scouts, or you're right back where you always were. You're doing your good works, right? Works, 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 works. That's silly. The Bible says your works are filthy rags before God. How can you hold your works up to God when he says they're filthy, dirty rags? You must be born again. Well, what does born again mean? Jesus says this, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I have said this unto you. You must be born again. As Moses lifted up the serpent, y'all remember the snakes in the desert? If they bit someone, they died. They went to Moses. They said, hey, what's going on here? Moses went to God. He said, what do I do? He said, put a brazen snake on a pole and put it in the middle of the camp. And when someone gets bit, they'll live. They won't die. Well, Jesus Christ is the very same thing. He's on the cross. If you look to him, you have eternal life. If you look to yourself, if any of your statements start with, I did this, I'm doing that, then you aren't saved. He did this. He did that. He died for me. He rose from the dead. He lives again. Do I hear any amens at all? What does amen mean? I got chewed out by a little old high school girl over there in Wayne. She didn't like that amen. She said, that's just not modern. She said, that's old time. I said, well, then we're going to do it because the Bible says when you lose the amen, that means you've lost the agreement in the church. The agreement is gone. You quit agreeing with me. So the amen is welcomed by this old pastor. I say that with heavy emphasis, Jay, on old pastor. 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So it says that you can't come to God unless you come by the water and be spiritually born. There was no baptisms. There were no churches at this time. I don't know if I make that clear enough. We read that word water and we immediately think baptism. There were no baptisms. The Jewish church wasn't baptizing anybody, and everybody else was Gentile. So throw that out. Well, my church over here, we baptize baby, we sprinkle them. No, that was not in the mix. That wasn't even what was going on. You must be born again of the water and the Spirit. The water is the Word of God. How many of you have gardens? Nobody? Only two or three? Wow, doing good. I think the Wolves have a garden or two around. And I do want to thank Darlene and Dwayne. That box of food that you get, well worth it. Brant's here, well worth it. Amazing. They gave me a box last week and we could hardly eat it all in a week's time. So thumbs up. You all need to be getting that fresh finds. So we must be born again by the water. How does the water affect us? It's the Word of God that's the water. If you're a farmer, if you've noticed this last 2 or 3 days now, that corn is starting to turn a little bit, starting to fire. You all remember, you farmers, fire from the bottom up, turning yellow, getting dry. When there is no water, there is no growth. I pray that if you hire this new pastor that's coming, and I'm assuming you are, that he preaches the word and you start to walk in this. Start to walk in it. If you don't love the people here in this church, then you need a new heart. You need a new heart. Love one another. If I'm a Christian and you're a Christian and I don't love you, how is the world going to look at that? Did you hear about old Jay? Yeah, I heard about Jay. You should say, I love Jay. He's a wonderful man. He's kind, loving, loves Jesus. That'd be a turnover, wouldn't it? You're crazy, man. You don't know that guy like I know that guy. Amen. Too many notes this morning, Thatcher. Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You say, where do you get that? Ephesians 5:26. Not sure what's up there, but Ephesians 5:26. I've changed some things around. Again, one more time, not just stay with me. That he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word. It's the word that washes us. It's the word that cleanses us. If we all lived like this book said we should live, we would be amazing people. You'd have to lock the door on Sunday morning out here to keep them out. Because they would start saying, wow, those people are so kind. They're so loving. They care so much. Well, if you want to make somebody mad, just do more good for them all the time. Just keep doing good for them. It'll irritate them so much more than if you're mad at them, because if you're mad at them, then they're mad at you, then it's kind of a standoff. But when you start loving them and loving them and loving them, it's like, oh, stop loving me. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Don't brag about yourself. My daughter-in-law didn't get to be Mrs. Nebraska by raising herself up. I was around her the whole time. Others raised her up. You want to have great success in your life? Let others do the talking. Don't do your own talking. Let others do the talking. Fresh Finds. See? Free ad. No problem. I love it. They're great. It's awesome. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. In other words, if you are not a Jew and you want to become a Jew, circumcision means nothing. And if you are a Jew, circumcision means nothing. That was a Jewish thing. That's a Jewish thing, not a Gentile thing. For I testify again to you and to every man that is... Whoops, I'm sorry. I'm out of bounds. Wake up. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Antique Auto Club, can you mix oil and water and keep them together? It don't work very good. You can't be in the flesh and you can't be in the Spirit at the same time. It doesn't work very good. We want to be spiritual people. We don't want to be flesh people. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are these. This is the manifestation of the lives that we live. If we're not in the Spirit, this is what we do. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Some of us got that baby zeroed in, right? I hate those people. Right? Variance, emulations, wrath, strife. Shouldn't be any strife in this church. Shouldn't be any strife. Sedition, heresy, envy. I can't stand Jeff's a moderator, man. I'd like to be happy he volunteered to be the moderator. Be happy he's involved. Murders, drunkenness, revelings of such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going in. My family is here today. I love my family. And if my sons do one thing, it's make sure those babies of theirs come to Jesus Christ. Because all the junk is out there, and we want the junk, and the oil and the water want the junk, and the two don't mix. This is the oil. This is the oil. As I have told you also in the past, they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they can't inherit the kingdom of God. Because they're so drawn up in the evil, the back-talking, the backbiting, the gossip, and the whispering. They can't come to God because they're too busy staying away from Him. Amen?
Amen.
But the fruit of the Spirit is this. Here's what the Christian does. This is what the Christian should do. And I see my good buddy Aaron. He's my neighbor across the street. I invited him to come today, and he's a good friend of mine. He came over the other day and put a bolt in one of my wheels, and I had to fry him chicken. He wanted roasted chicken. So he says, anytime you want a bolt put in your mower, Doug, he says, call me up. Thanks for coming. So these are the fruits of the Spirit. This is what I should produce. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. I've asked Jesus into my heart. I have asked Him to forgive my sins, and I'm going to heaven because he died for me and his promise is true. So this is what I should show. What is it? A fruit of the Spirit is love. Oh, not love. Not love. Joy. Are you happy you're here this morning? If you are, say yes.
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes. Amen.
Love one another. Be joyful in that loving relationship. Peace. We're going to make peace with one another. I'll just tell my friends back here, Dwayne and Alice are here this morning. They're visiting too. I invited them from Pierce. And those of you who don't know this, some of you do know this. I think Sonia, maybe Linda might know all this stuff. But when we were down on Philip, the original old church, Pastor Morris was our pastor. Pastor Morris was about my age and he was ill. He wasn't doing very well. And some of the members in the church said, "We're tired of this guy. How long do we have to put up with him?" And I remember my dad said to him, "He's sick. Can't you at least let him finish out the time that he's here?" And they said, "No, we're moving on." And there was a man down there that said, "We're taking half the congregation and we're moving over and we're going to form Northern Heights Baptist Church." See, some of you didn't know that. And they did. And they left a handful of us hanging with Pastor Morris. That's the church that you're in now, is the group that stayed with Pastor Morris. You do not separate yourselves from your God by joining some ragtag bunch of people that want to leave just so they can be bigger, better, more. Long-suffering. Sometimes you got to suffer a long time with people. We got a little bit of that. We kind of know that in our family just a little bit. You got to suffer sometimes a little bit. It takes a while. Gentleness. How many of you are gentle with people, or how many of you are dictatorship? You know, you don't do this and you don't do this and now you're going to hell. Who are you to condemn anybody? Get the log out of your own eye. Goodness. Goodness. Dwayne Wolf, a longtime friend of mine. He and I go back to college roommates together. He's a character. But he's always been good to me. That guy's always loved me like a brother, always been faithful to me. Faith. Meekness. How many of you are meek? Temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Christians are supposed to be different. You're supposed to be different. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Biggest complaint today is, why does God do what he does? A long time ago, I resolved that. First, the Bible says, "My ways are not your ways. My ways are beyond your finding out." Then why in the world do you think you're going to find out? You never will. He says, you can't, because you don't understand me. 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard and declare unto you, that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, it's a problem with all the churches. Everybody's going to heaven, right? All dogs go to heaven, right? We've quit worrying about the sin in our lives, and we quit worrying about the sin that we need to confess and give back to God. And instead, we just assume, hey, we're good people, baby. And if I'm a good person, then God must like me. There's no truth to that. You're coming on his terms. And if you're coming on your terms, it's a religion you have made up for yourself. I've had this terrible problem with myself, Ken. Every time I look in the mirror, I say, what a handsome fellow you must be. What a handsome fellow you are. I couldn't find one person in this room who would say that. So I fooled myself. See, I'm fooling myself. Got to be careful we don't fool ourselves to think that we're something special. If you're not on your knees and you're not begging for mercy, then you're not where you should be. Romans 10:8. Romans 10:8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's getting easier, isn't it? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I will do that in front of you. I am a sinner, saved by grace, not by works. Grace plus is a lie. Grace is the only way you're coming to God. Your works do not get you close to the gate. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. There's so many preachers today are telling you about the environment, abortion, every crazy thing. Someone in here sent me a text last night, said, man, look at what the left has done to the Olympics. How many of you have been following that? You don't even know what I'm talking about? They did the Lord's Supper in drag to opening ceremony. A bunch of gay and lesbian women doing a gay Last Supper as the opening ceremony. Don't sound quite right, does it? Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. God's not looking for your cockiness. God's not looking for your arrogance. God wants to know, where's your heart? Is it broken that he had to go to the cross for you? Is it contrite? Is it sorrowful that he had to pay the price for my stinking sin? Wouldn't you hate to have your sin laying out in the sun on a day like this? Smell to heaven, wouldn't it? Finally, I close with this. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. This is God inhabits eternity. That's where you're going. And you can go whichever way you want to go, but that's where you're going. You're gone, your soul's going into eternity, either eternal hell, eternal damnation, or you have eternal life. You get to make the choice. Think about it. It's your choice. And you can't blame Doug, and you can't blame anybody in this room whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I made. Psalm 139. Each one of you is wonderfully and fearfully made. In a dark place, in a substance, in an area that no one saw, you come to life. You are special to God. God has a work for you to do. Quit pulling away from the work and get involved in the work. How many of you want to be supervisors here at this church? Jim, I have work for you and others to do. I think you'll like what I've lined up for you. No. You go dig the ditch. You go pull the weeds. You go cook the meal. Show them you love them. It'll teach them a lesson. Father, we thank you this morning for those that are here who have given their lives to Jesus Christ, and we're thankful for them. Or those who have just said, I'll wait till I get there. How arrogant can you be? What do you think? God's waiting on you? Next week's sermon's going to be about how God seeks you. God loves you. God gave his son for you. But he has said, you must be born again. Through the hearing and teaching of the word, through the faith that you have in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. If you've never done that this morning, you're going to do it. I'm going to go see Kenny tomorrow. I'm going to take Jesus with me. I'm going to have a talk. Is Jesus with you today, or are you just hanging out, hoping you have a place to go, hoping you have a church to come to? We ask now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you take one moment this morning. Today may be the day of your salvation. Have you asked Christ into your heart? If you haven't, let's make today the day that you open the door to heaven and you have eternal life secured. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.